Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to Third Stream View. This is your not-so-humble host, PK, and this is a pre-recorded interview for Monday evening, August 22nd. I'm excited about the guest I'm having on tonight. He's a friend that I know. He has is involved in the leasing and property management business, and he has a background in business, aeronautics, and I think he has a pilot's license, too. My friend Matt is a true fiscal conservative. He ran for mayor of Orange County, Florida, last year, and he showed pretty well. He didn't win, but he came. Had a good showing, and he is very good at streamlining government. He wrote an interesting book called Building a Better Local Government, How to Lower Taxes and Improve Services at the Same Time. It's a very good book with interesting chapters on how to streamline local government and, you know, get rid of duplication of services and this sort of thing. And Matt has a lot of good stuff to talk about. I'm a fan of a true fiscal conservative, and we'll see what he has to say about streamlining government. He's got some interesting chapters in this book. I don't realize how much is spent on building codes and millions and millions and the high salaries they've paid people and, you know, in government. It just never seems to end, the inefficiencies of what governments do, and this conversation is going to be mostly about local government. We'll see what transpires with what he has to say about this now. But this book, he has interesting chapters concerning how one would streamline the local government, and it's not about, you know, it's not all about him. It's about what's for the good of the county and for the good of the taxpayers, instead of, you know, the public good. That term has been used a lot to justify socialism and all different types of collectivism and more taxes. But the way a true fiscal conservative would look at it would be a way to streamline local government and make things more efficient and especially save the taxpayers. Some of the chapters are like government salaries cannot be higher than the taxpayers. Unsustainable pensions. We all know that. Look at the federal government pensions. Look at the pensions in California. All this sort of stuff. Fixing public education. Improving public safety. Reinventing the property appraiser and tax collector. Fixing building, planning, zoning, and code enforcement. It's very neat chapters like that. Matt, are you out there, sir?
Yes, I am. How are you?
Good. Welcome to Third Stream View.
Thank you.
Would you like some tea or coffee?
I think I'll take some tea these days.
Well, it's self-service, my friend. I was talking about you while we were trying to reach you. That you're into leasing and property management, and you have a background in business. And is it aeronautics or aerodynamics?
I have a degree in aeronautical science, and I've got a commercial pilot's license. And my background and my reason for getting into politics is because I have a lot of small business tenants, and I saw that the cost of doing business in Florida was driving people out of business.
You know, that is so damn confusing because, and obviously, as you know, Matt, it certainly ain't just happening here. These bastards in government, they want to keep collecting their taxes, but they're making it harder for us to make a living. Or through more regulation and licensing. I just heard on talk radio today that the state in Alabama wants farmers now to register their tractors in the same fashion that semi-truck drivers have to register and keep a log and all this kind of stuff. It's nonsense.
Well, it's amazing, PK, how expensive it is for even a small business to do business today. When you add up all the impact fees, all the real estate taxes, all the sales taxes and use taxes, you add unemployment taxes, and what you're finding is businesses are finding it's much cheaper to make those products overseas and have it show up in a box delivered by UPS at their customer's door. What we're really doing is we're driving jobs out of the country, And my biggest concern is that small business will become extinct in America within the next generation.
And as my very successful businessman grandfather always told me 35 years ago, Matt, is that small business employs more people than big business nationwide.
Almost 70% of the jobs in this country are supplied by small business. And that's really, you know, the big businesses have not failed en masse. What we're seeing is with the small business are the ones that are suffering in this economy.
And I hear, you know, friends and different people talk about, we've got to manufacture more here. We got to start manufacturing more here in our country. And, you know, I understand that. But at the same time, I understand that business, and I'm not a shill for big business. I think if you know anything about me, you know that I am, and you probably agree with me on this, Matt. I am, or I may I say, we are not pro-business per se. We are pro-free enterprise.
Absolutely. And,
Matt,
and what? Yep. Go ahead.
Sorry, Matt. Like me, you don't favor protectionism and political privilege and subsidies and bailouts and handouts at the taxpayer expense.
Not at all. Government should not be picking winners and losers because government is very bad at that.
You know, exactly.
Most of these government projects are inherently losers because they would have been done by the private sector without them. Say, take examples, SunRail or High Speed Rail. But what it's very simple. The economy is very simple. There's X amount of dollars out there, and when you take $100 billion out of the economy to do, say, a high speed rail project, that's $100 billion that's not going into your small business economy, your nail salons, and your movie theaters, and your restaurants. So government is actually stealing resources from the private sector, and it's starving our small business economy. And unless and until people realize that, we're going to be in a world of hurt.
They're masters at playing the shell game.
Absolutely.
You know, and the other thing is that, and I'm speaking generally about business now, and of course, a lot of people who are anti-business or more pro-taxes or even the bureaucrats, most of them have never had to meet a payroll or run a business. So I contend that American business generally is very overregulated and very overtaxed, and that's why they're locating overseas. Plus, here's something I like to say, and this irks some union people, but tell me what your take on this is about unions. Because of American labor unions, because of their strikes and their threats of strikes, they have over the years been able to impose above-market wages on American employers, and now those chickens have come home to roost in terms of foreign competition.
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, on a local level, you know, those unions deal with large companies. But on
sure.
a local level, it's your average mom and pop that is a florist, a nail salon, or a small restaurant. Those are the ones that employ 70% of the American people, and they're the ones that bear the full weight of government. They don't have time for politics. They don't have lobbyists on the payroll. And they're the ones that are paying for the cost of all these local governments and all these regulations. The other guys get lobbyists to do special interest legislation to protect them. So really, we need to look at, you know, what's best for our country and how to keep small business from going out of business. And unfortunately, we're going in the wrong direction. We have all sorts of things that are coming up these days, anywhere from red light cameras to, you know, any kind of way the government can extract revenue. And that's all coming out of the revenue stream that's going to small business.
Interesting you mentioned cameras, because something I read about last week, and this has been a bug that's been bugging me for a while, because I just say it out loud when I'm driving. I say, you know, these damn yellow lights, they ought to be a little longer. And I heard that a lot of governments, local governments, I guess, over time, they have kind of shortened the time of a yellow light. Did you know that?
Yeah, and that's been true in a lot of different places. And unfortunately, you know, not only do they shorten the yellow light, but I've got studies that show that the red light cameras actually increase traffic accidents in an intersection, because once the people know they're there, they slam on the brakes to not get a ticket, and the guy behind them smashes into them. So red light cameras, you know, if you look at it realistically, it's just about the money. And you know, while government might need the money, you know, that money's coming from somewhere. It's coming from the pockets of consumers, and those consumers are the ones that support our small business economy.
Right. Well, just like the Fed, and I see this in Congress last week, it's like, you know, And my grandpa, again, my very successful businessman grandfather, mentor of mine, told me 35 years ago, he said, in terms of local government or national or state, he used to say, let them go broke. Until they learn how to manage money, to hell with them. Let them go broke. And that's why it was so interesting hearing you campaign last year, to hear a true fiscal conservative speak, because that was part of what you would say. I'm a fiscal conservative, and you meant it. And you're one of the few people I've ever heard speak where I thought, yeah, if we elect this guy, he's actually going to do what he says he's going to do, because you come across as a guy who knows his stuff and there ain't no BS involved. It's like, this is how it is, folks, and Matt doesn't sugarcoat it, and your delivery's good, and I haven't finished your book, but I like a lot of, you know, every page is very interesting, and you've really, you did your homework on it.
Yeah. Well, and it's all for one cause. One cause is, I want to promote sound economic policy. And we've been told for the last four decades that, if we take money from the taxpayer and government takes it and spends it on what they think is appropriate, it's good for us. Well, it's not. Look at our economy now. Look at the stock market today. I mean, obviously, The progressive notion that big government is good for us is wrong, and it's time to go back the other direction. And we say, I really mean it. I do. It's in my DNA that money is better left in the taxpayer's pocket than in government, always, because the private sector uses the money more efficiently, creates jobs more efficiently, and every dollar that goes to government is a dollar that's not going to the private sector. It's actually hurting our economy.
Definitely. And I like the way you have a very, when you speak, just like you're speaking now, you have a very clean cut, clear way of explaining things. You don't have a lot of babble mixed in, or you get to the point. And so I really like that. And back to this government, even local, federal, they remind me of, because they can't manage money, and of course, as you would probably agree, no matter, and I'm totally against raising taxes, but even if they did raise taxes more, it won't make a dent in the deficit or the massive debt, because not only is there not enough people to pay that kind of money, but government spends thousands of percent beyond what they take in like that.
You could tax everybody in this country 100% and it wouldn't help, but what it would do is take away all the disposable income in our community. Let me give you one really quick fact about local governments here in Central Florida. In
Please
Orange
do.
County, our governments spend $7 billion a year, the 14 governments in Orange County. There's 600,000 taxpayers in Orange County, which means that our governments spend $11,000 plus per working taxpayer in Orange County. And they only make an average of $37,000 a year. So they're spending roughly 35% of their income in local government alone. And people don't realize they're spending that money because they're paying for it when they buy their groceries and their gasoline and other services. But those embedded taxes are starving the small business economy because the government's taking more and more resources.
And all of that, the numbers you just laid out there, doesn't even include what these same taxpayers also have to pay in property tax, higher insurance, and federal taxes.
And federal taxes, yeah. If you sum it all up, I think somewhere between 60 and 65% of every dollar you make goes to a government at some level. And you don't realize it because you might pay 35% federal income tax, but you pay taxes every time you go to Publix. I mean, when you buy that six-pack of Coke and it's $2, a dollar, that is taxes. So people don't understand how much they pay in taxes, especially poor people, because the poor people are paying more than their fair share, even though they don't realize it.
Yeah, and you have all these hidden taxes, like different excise taxes. I mean, phone bills are full of all these extra miscellaneous taxes, I noticed.
Sure, absolutely. Well, in my next book, I'm going to point out that almost half of a hotel room is taxes. A third of a rental car is taxes. Almost half of your grocery bill is taxes. It's all embedded in there, and you're all paying for it, whether you have a job or not. If you eat, or consume anything, you're paying for these taxes in addition to everything else. And the horrible part is it's not that we're paying these taxes that they're bad. It's that it's hurting our economy. Drive down any street, Main Street USA, and you'll see the businesses closed. The reason they're closed is because the consumer does not have enough money to support them.
Yeah, it's a real shame. And I noticed also in terms of the government is that the um, um, at, at uh, you know, local and state or federal level, it's like they, since they can't manage money and they spend and spend, it's like literally us walking up to the alcoholics who are begging or whatever and just giving them free alcohol and just more heroin to the heroin addicts. Oh, they'll kick sometimes in the future. Let's kick the can down the road. I mean, it's just like it's feeding an addiction.
Yeah, and it's actually a little bit more than that because, you know, the political system has been designed to reward special interests that live off the taxpayer. If you look at any of these bridges to nowhere, SunRail, high-speed rail, or whatever, you'll find that the special interests that live off the taxpayer, the engineers, the lawyers, the lobbyists, and the contractors, give probably 80% of all campaign contributions at all levels of government, local, state, federal, whatever it is. And really what we're doing is we're giving taxpayer money out in return for campaign contributions that keep this whole system going, and it's got to stop because you can either serve the taxpayer or you can serve special interests, but not both. And it's really taking public policy and it's warping it against our best interest. So really, when you see all these bridges to nowhere, it's only a reward for those special interests who give the money to get these politicians elected.
And I've also heard, you know, especially like a lot of these are union jobs too. So it's that's a built-in thing too. So they get the union.
It's the same thing with General Motors. When they bailed out General Motors, that was just a big bailout for the union.
Right.
But it doesn't matter, union, non-union. You know, they're buying votes, whether they're, you know, the Democratic votes, Republican votes, or independent votes. They don't care as long as they're using your tax dollars for their political capital and their future, instead of doing sound economic policy, which would be to have a government that is as small as possible. We have more money flowing into the private sector, which is going to create the best economy and the highest standard of living. You know, it's unfortunate that our economic policy has taken the greatest economy the world has ever known and brought it to its knees.
Yeah, it is. I didn't think I'd see it in my lifetime, and I'm a pretty good student of economic history too. And for example, Obama's doing. I mean, that would do the opposite of everything. And now he's giving free cell phones away to kids or people who want cell phones. I guess. I mean, just buying more votes. You probably know this, but when the communists came to power in Russia in the 1920, just a little after that, one of the things they did was not only did they tax away all the wealth, but then they spent all the accumulation, so there was nothing left, basically. They taxed it all away. They took and took and took, and there's nothing more created.
Oh, absolutely. Well, there's only so many dollars out there, and the dollar is either going to go to government or it's going to go into the private sector. And government, as you know, tends to build things and spend money on things that don't produce a lot of return. So inherently, government is going to create less jobs with that money than the private sector. And it's part, you know, part ideology, part where some people think it's great, government's going to do all this, but mostly it is political corruption, it's cronyism, where you'll build a highway or a bridge to nowhere, and your friends will get rich, and the taxpayer are the ones that suffer.
And what also suffers is the good name and the good reputation of what capitalism really should be. Not, and I'm always clear about this, I'm always ranting and railing against the perversion of capitalism, and I think you'll agree. It's capitalism, real true free market capitalism, does not allow bailouts, corporate welfare, crony capitalism, quote-unquote capitalism.
Yeah, that's what we have today. We have crony capitalism.
Corporate and socialism.
Yeah, it is. Government is picking the winners and losers, you know, and the same people that brought us cash for clunkers and all these programs, these terrible programs, they're the ones that are trying to pick the winners and losers. And the marketplace is the only one that can pick winners and losers.
Right, right. Well, Hayek, the great Austrian economist Friedrich Hayek, I believe, said years ago, probably in the 40s, is that government doesn't have all the information. It can't pick winners and losers. It's, you know, it pretty much it just exists for the special interest groups, like you say. And this is the problem, just, you know, rewarding themselves at the expense of the taxpayer. You do say there's only so many dollars out there. I got to start to take issue with that because the Fed's created trillions of dollars, and you're starting to see the higher prices now.
Well, you know, there's only so many dollars out there, but also you know, the problem is that these borrowed dollars have to be paid back as well. And not only when the Fed borrows a dollar, it takes a dollar out of circulation because people are investing in the federal treasury note instead of our economy. So, somebody right. said this week, I believe it was Ron Paul, that said, you know, they're diverting $14 trillion out of our economy by having a $14 trillion debt. So, you know, there's just, it's a very simple, macroeconomics is very simple. The dollar is either going to go towards government, whether it's spending project or debt, or it's going to go to the private sector. And right now, more than half our economy is going to the government, which is the reason our economy is so down in the dumps right now.
And that's very scary, and I don't see it getting better. I see it getting worse. I think next year could be worse. And then, of course, a lot of the – probably the have-nots outnumber the haves. So in my view, Ron Paul is the only Republican who can beat Obama, and I worry about Obama being reelected, because if he keeps going down the same path, that's more statism, that's more government "quote unquote" solutions to problems, more, you know, more programs, more this, more that, and it hits us on the local level, and it's scary, Matt. What do you have your own little scenario for the, say, the next couple of years where you see things headed?
Well, I try not to be a pessimist, but it's hard to be an optimist in the current situation. I wrote an article today in the Florida Political Press, FloridaPoliticalPress.com, that basically, you know, compared our economy to Japan's, which is Japan's been in recession 10 out of the last 21 years. So when your debt becomes so high that it consumes, you know, a certain percentage of your economy, then there is no growth. It's almost impossible to have growth at that stage. And I think if we're not there, we're very close to it. And I think that you know, a lot of people think that that the United States of America is in the third year of a 10-year recession. And I can't argue with that. I hope it's wrong. I really hope that we return to prosperity, but I don't see it happening given, you know, the economic policies at all levels of government. I can't blame Obama, because we do it here in Orange County and we do it other places.
Right, right. It's very scary where it's going to. I've been referred to as a pessimistic optimist. I think it's going to get a lot worse before it gets much better, and especially during these times. This is the worst. I'm against tax increasing, as you are too, but this is the worst time to increase taxes or even think about it. In fact, as far as unions go, I read a few days ago that the Ford employees are contemplating a strike or something like that. I mean, that's the worst thing you could do in this economy. Anybody who has a decent job today ought to be glad they have a job, period.
Yeah, it's hard to, you know, understand that rationale. But, you know, what's happening, and a lot of this is kind of complicated, but let's say that you're 55 years old and you have $10 million in the bank. And you're paying 35%, 36% on taxes locally, and maybe another 10% on state taxes. You're paying roughly 45% in taxes. Well, when you die, you're going to pay 55% of everything you have to the federal government in estate taxes. So really what you're looking at is almost a 75% tax on every new dollar that you make between now and the time you die. There's almost no incentive for the people out there that have wealth to go out there and take risk and create jobs anymore in America. It's only the young that can do that, and they don't have the resources and skill set that the older generation does. So it's going to be a challenge to find out where we're going to get these new jobs from in the future if we continue to raise the bar, you know, increase taxes. And the death tax is probably one of the biggest impediments to economic growth, because, you know, if you're 55, 60 years old, there's no reason for you to go out there and make more money, because they're going to take it from you when you die.
Yeah, it's just awful. I keep hearing lately that something like half the population doesn't even pay any federal taxes.
That's true.
Here's my question, Matt.
Sure.
A lot of the people who might not pay federal taxes, they're still paying a lot out. They're taking a lot out of their withholding taxes, aren't they?
If they have a job, yeah. If they're not on welfare or some kind of other entitlement, they still pay withholding taxes. But a lot of times they get rebates on that. But what people don't understand is, let's say that you're on welfare and you don't pay any taxes, federal taxes, you still go to the grocery store and you still buy goods and you still pay half of what you spend in the grocery store in taxes. You know, Milton Friedman said it the best, is that the total tax on a society is the sum of all government spending. So if you don't pay it, you know, on a monthly basis, you pay it, you know, with your grocery bill. If you don't pay it at the federal government, you pay it in your gas taxes. No matter what you do, you're going to pay taxes one way or the other in this country. And the more government spends, the higher your tax burden is going to be.
Yeah, that's really something. I was curious, when did you start going down this path of self-realization about all this inefficiency? When did you really sort of, I would say that you've pretty much mastered your knowledge of this and your recommendations. When did you start, you know, like how long ago did this start in your case?
Well, you know, really came through my activities in business, and I was, you know, doing a lot of, you know, I look at my computer screen and I can see how much the tenants are paying, real estate taxes and the taxes on their garbage bill and the utilities. And I just thought that this can't go. These guys can't survive. I mean, when I started in the real estate business, the average rent for a small business tenant might be $2,000. And by 2008, that went to $6,000. And it was mostly a function of government. It wasn't more profit from the private sector. So what I started reading. I read Hayek and I read Friedman and I read all these other good books and you know, kind of reinforced what I said. But really, my whole mission has been to educate people on sound economic policy, and on every level of government, we have been going down the wrong path. And hopefully, with all this suffering, they will start to listen. It's one of the things I said to the Orlando Sentinel is I said, you know, at what level of suffering do you begin to think that maybe the progressives are wrong? Maybe government spending is not good for us. Maybe limited government is the best path to economic prosperity.
You're right. And like Ron Paul says, you know, if at the rate they're going, if and when this dollar collapses, then there won't be anything to fund anything.
Right. And that is the what they call the fear. They say the Tea Party is trying to put everybody into fear. But, you know, even the Congressional Budget Office has said our deficits are not sustainable. You know, look at a 500-point drop in the Dow today and a 1,000-point drop this month. You know, that has nothing to do with the debt ceiling. That has to do with the future of our country because we're on an unsustainable path with our debt. So, you know, I think Ron Paul has been saying the same thing for 25 years, and he's been right the whole time. Nobody's listened to him. But now people are starting to stand up and say, well, you know, maybe he's right. And I just hope it's not too late.
You know, I don't know if you've seen any of this, but of course, I'm sure you're probably a fan of Peter Schiff also.
I know Peter, and I think he's been right on the money. He predicted the last economic collapse.
Well, speaking of his predictions, there's some great clips of him on YouTube. It's laughable because they're laughing at him, but I'm laughing at them because I think starting in 2006, they have a collage of him. It's edited of him talking to these economists or the other people, and they're laughing at him. Where do you get this kind of information? They're talking about how sound things are. I don't know if you've seen this. He's going,
yeah, that was it was some, you know, guy that I forget his name, but he's a comedian.
And just for, they're railing on the poor guy, you know. It'd be like someone telling you everything you're talking about is wrong, and then bang, it hits. And when you watch it, it's hilarious because these supposedly knowledgeable people in their banking or finance or real estate, they're ganging up on Peter Schiff. And, you know, it's just a collage of his different appearances, and he's been right every time. And it's not because he has a crystal ball. It's because he understands Austrian economics. He understands the market. And he understands what inflation is doing and you know, overvalued things that are so overvalued. And if anything I've learned years ago is that a recession is a cleansing process for malinvestment. You know, I would have let all this stuff run its course. And I'm a believer in microtaxes. And just so the liberals don't wet their pants, I think you might even like this. In my world tomorrow, Matt, corporate tax across the board, small business, big business, it's
2%. Wow.
2%.
You know, I think you'd see a lot more investment in this country if you had the tax on profits reduced. But I think, you know, there's a lot of taxes that we need to reduce. And the number one, I would say, is the death tax. I mean, there's really no point in trying to build an empire when the government's going to take 55% of it when you die. But, you know, it all goes back to sound economic policy. You know, is a dollar better off in the private sector or in the government? And the answer to that is pretty simple, but we've been going down this progressive path where they say SunRail is going to create jobs, high-speed rail is going to create jobs, stimulus is going to create jobs, and it's just not true. It actually, there's studies been done that show for every job government creates, it kills 2.2 jobs in the private sector. And that's what we need to get people to be educated on is that big government means high unemployment.
Right, right. We don't learn this in the public schools,
or you know, we learn the opposite.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Of course. You know, we don't learn this stuff, so it's scary. And speaking of the progressives, the late great Austrian school economist Murray Rothbard, who is a patron saint of the libertarian movement in Mises, had said that we've already. I love saying this to progressives because they get a great funny look on their face, and you can use this, Matt. You know, my friend, we've already had a progressive era in this country. It gave us the federal income tax, the Federal Reserve, World War One, and Prohibition. No thanks.
Yeah, well, and today it gave us cash for clunkers and Obama rail and all these other things. You know, somehow, some way, we've got to expand our knowledge to beyond, you know, the core of conservatives that live in this country. You know, we've got to get out there and educate the general public. And I try to do that through a lot of different forums on Facebook and on my postings on the Internet. And until we get, you know, 51% of the people to understand that limited government is the best way to economic prosperity and a higher quality of life, then it's going to be a tough road. And once we get to 51%, I think that we'll be good.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I appreciate all your efforts in education and writing, journalism, because you know, someone's got to do it. We got to go down this path. And again, you're probably the most fiscal conservative I know of. I mean, besides Ron Paul, I can't really count many people on one hand. There's so many rhinos out there. Just everywhere you
turn. There's a lot of progressives in all parties, and hopefully that'll change with the Tea Party movement. But check out FloridaPoliticalPress.com because I post an article probably at least weekly there, and it's basically educational. It's fact based. You know, I don't pick on Obama. I don't pick on a lot of people because, you know, this is all about economic policy. It's not personal.
Right.
And what I try to do is share with people, and people can go out there and post it on their Facebook and share it with their friends, and eventually, hopefully, we educate enough people to get a real positive change in this country.
That was, again, that was FloridaPoliticalPress.com?
Correct. Florida, www.FloridaPoliticalPress.com.
Great. Well, you know, thank goodness also for alternative media and internet radio, because it's a good way to get news out there, because, the status quo corporate, crowd, they tend to marginalize us. And I'm fond of saying, you probably know this or like this, that, you know, a lot of these politically connected business people, they want socialism for themselves, that government gravy train, and capitalism for everybody else. You know, you go struggle in the marketplace, but, you know, we're connected.
Yeah, well, it goes back to that culture of corruption where the special interests that live off the taxpayers are very connected. You know, they're connected to the media, they're connected to the political system. You know, so this whole system is basically generating projects for special interest to benefit, and the taxpayers are the one paying the bill. And that cycle's got to end, and it's only going to end with education. And it's not going to, you know, you're not going to read about this in the Orlando Sentinel. It's only going to come on, you know, conservative websites and Facebook. But, you know, we can educate people one at a time, one person at a time, one issue at a time, and that's what I continue to do.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you do, because we have to continue down this path. One thing I notice, even people from the, you know, liberal or Democrat persuasion, is when you tell people, you know, we need strict term limits, because all these, you know, the big shots from Obama to Bush, a lot of these top, you know, politicians and congressmen, you know, they all retire, a lot of them as millionaires, with their lavish government pensions. So, you know, that's got to come to an end too.
Yeah, you know,
it's ridiculous.
For me, it all comes down to, you know, solid, sound economic policy, which means that if we don't need to do it, government shouldn't do it. We should have the government that is as small as we can possibly have, and leave as much money in the private sector. It's hard to argue with, and there's no fluff in it. So that's the message I'll continue to preach: is sound economic policy, and hopefully. We'll get the people to listen to us.
I wish we had little schools like that in strip malls that teach sound economic policy that kids and adults would latch onto, because economics is a very important thing that people have to know about. And yours is basic. It's straight ahead. It's easy to understand. Your writing style is easy to understand when I look in your book and your facts and the way you describe things. So if you keep writing things and you maintain this style, the prose that you use, I think you'll continue to enlighten people as you go down the right path, because something's got to happen. I'm worried about it. I mean, Matt, your unborn grandchildren already owe thousands.
I know. And we're not going to be able to pay that money back if small business does not survive. But we'll keep at it. We'll keep at it. And PK, I thank you for what you do and your continued efforts in all this.
Well, thank you. And I'm glad you were able to come on. I don't know how much longer you stay. I don't think you could stay the whole
Yeah, I've got to run out to my YMCA basketball championship game tonight. But
great.
I think that efforts like yours are going to make this country better, and we can't give up the fight because we owe it to our children and grandchildren.
Well, thank you so much, Matt. You're right about that. I hope you'll come back on again sometime. You'll have a little more time to talk, and we'll talk about your future projects and ideas.
Great day. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Matt.
Bye-bye.
Well, there you go. We just had a good interview with my friend Matt Falconer, the author of Building a Better Local Government, How to Lower Taxes and Improve Services at the Same Time. Matt's also a good-looking guy, heterosexually speaking. He's a good-looking guy, nicely dressed. You hear him speak, you think, wow, you know, this could work. And a lot of people, they just aren't familiar with a lot of these ideas, or they're not familiar with the fact that there exists a lot of alternatives for more government control or regulation. And sometimes we don't even need these government quite often. We don't even need the programs. We don't need additional government control. So that is something that we should enlighten ourselves about. What am I doing differently, Office asked me. Nothing. I'm having a little trouble, a technical trouble here. Am I still, is it still a little distorted? Yes. What do you suggest? Backing off the mic a bit? How's this? Is this better? They're writing to me, folks. I was talking closer. Is this better? Do that. Okay, this must be better. Okay, and something I like to say is that, no, it's not. Okay. Further away. Is this better? How's this? Better. Okay. As I've said before, there's a lot of duplication of government that we don't need. And yes, in my view, we're going to have to fire a lot of government employees and a lot of bureaucrats. And my solution for that is to give them all 2 years of their full pay and benefits, and after that, cut them loose. We have to have a major shift. Things have to change. So, again, as I've mentioned before, I try to plant this seed so it'll sink in and people will understand it, is that every state already has a Department of Agriculture, a Department of Education, a Department of Transportation, environmental departments. What have I left out? Many of these agencies that the federal government has, states already have these agencies. So why are we paying for all the federal ones? Now it sounds a little slurry. Well, I've backed off a bit. So, I mean, why are we paying for all this federal stuff? We're paying twice. And just to abolish these federal agencies that aren't even constitutional, and they're making laws and rules without congressional approval, you know, they're not even fulfilling a very good purpose for our society and our country. They're just costing us more money. I don't understand why I'm still a little, the office is telling me my speech is a little slurry. Well, I haven't had anything to drink, no drugs, haven't been eating. I don't know what the mic placement's all about. It's the sound. Huh. I don't know what to do about that at this point. So I'll just keep talking and hoping that it clears up a little bit. But back to downsizing government, as I like to say also, this drug war, I'm harping on this drug war. This drug war is costing us probably trillions since its inception. And Nixon really kicked it up in 1971, and then Reagan really ramped it up. So it's probably absorbed $1 trillion itself. And you can see what the feds did recently. They gave, what, I don't know if it was hundreds, but let's say lots of firearms, automatic weapons, I believe, that they allowed to go into Mexico to criminals so that they can trace them later. Meanwhile, a lot of people were killed from that. Also, there's been a Mexican cocaine drug dealers who've been allowed to sell their coke, smuggle their coke into the States by the U.S. government or the feds, CIA, customs, so that they can supposedly trace where that's going to. So they're, you know, it's such a connected mess. And again, meanwhile, you have American and British troops in Afghanistan guarding the opium fields, guarding the poppy fields. So it's just such a mess. And, you know, the inmates are running the asylum, as the saying goes. And I think it's going to get a lot worse than it gets before it gets much better. And so as Matt was talking about before, downsizing government and shrinking things that we don't need, and really looking into the salaries that are paid, just the fact that a lot of these government jobs shouldn't exist. And yes, there'll be people who are fired and let go, but a healthy private sector will absorb them in the future. But the way things are going now, government's just taken up so much of our money in taxes, plus all the unseen or the hidden taxes that we pay that most people don't even realize they're paying, just to maintain a government that remains inefficient, that can't live within its means, that overregulates us, but it still expects us to comply with all the regulations, with all the additional taxes, and just the, you know, just the control in general. It's just, it's madness. And also, especially on the national level, it seems to be coming about at an even faster pace. More government control, more rules, more regulations, you know, the TSA running wild, you know, so that is the mess that we're faced with. And of course, you know, 9/11 was the excuse to constantly expand government power. It was like it's like the government's won the lottery, and now they have this extra revenue and extra power to continue to oppress us, to regulate us more, to treat us like, you know, they treat us, they're sexual predators in the airports, and the people are just getting fed up. I know there's been an Arab Spring. I think it's time for an American revolution where people are just going to maybe not, you know, fight the government because we're outgunned. I understand that. We want a nonviolent revolution. But if people, like in the Gandhi sense, just refuse to cooperate, you know, if enough people refuse to cooperate, if enough people stop paying, say, federal taxes, where are they going to put them all? Well, maybe they'll put them in the supposedly non-existent FEMA camps that the feds have set up. And when they do admit to any of that, they say it is, of course, if they have to ever have to round up all the illegal aliens. But I think that the government, the state that is, especially the central state, Washington, D.C., has some not too distant plans for when there is a revolt or there is an insurrection, when people are just so fed up, because the American sheeple are starting to wake up. You know, it's different than what's happened in Egypt, you know, Tunisia, Libya, but, you know, it's brewing. People are pissed off. And this TSA groping has really upset a lot of people. I mean, they've made flying so uncomfortable, and it's amazing to see all the sheeple that say, well, if it'll protect us from a terrorist, I don't mind being patted down. Yeah, you don't mind being patted down from something that would otherwise be a crime or a felony outside the airport. And, you know, patting down children, or that lady a couple weeks ago with her mother who was 95, and they took her to a separate room and they wanted to take her diaper off so they could check her further. I mean, how humiliating, how disgusting. But that's your federal government. And, you know, this is the same government that people want all their entitlements from. Well, I'm not forgetting doing away with all the entitlements. That would be the last thing I would reform, and also with Ron Paul, because a lot of people have paid into those, so we don't want to deprive those people of those. We don't want to throw the sick and those who need medical help out in the street. I understand that. But our long-term or short-term goal should be to how to reform Social Security. We'll abolish it, phase it out, and to reform Medicare and Medicaid so that we take care of our people, but they're not dependent on government. The same government who continues to widen these wars overseas, which continue to bankrupt the country, Obama having signed the largest defense budget ever. So this is massive spending, massive. Meanwhile, look at our infrastructure. You know, our roads and bridges need help. Our schools need money. They're laying off teachers. So it is so badly managed. I don't see how it keeps going. And I'm sure that the unemployment rate is much higher than the feds are telling us it is. And meanwhile, you know, Obama just keeps cruising along like and blaming Bush. As much as I couldn't stand Bush, I mean, there comes a point where you have to own things. And yes, Bush needs to be held accountable for it. I mean, he started this with the bailouts, the TARP bailouts, the $700 billion that we needed to do right away or we're going to be in a big problem. Also, Bush supported the $750 billion prescription drug program. Well, there's a way to buy votes or a lot of seniors' votes. And also, No Child Left Behind and the Home Ownership Society. You know, instead of abolishing the Department of Education, they expand it. That's probably over $100 billion of waste. That money should remain in our pockets in the economy. Again, every state already has a Department of Education. Not that we really need those either, because I'd rather see private schools spring up everywhere where teachers focus on the customer, the student and their parents. That's the purpose of education, not to strengthen the teachers' unions or to play the teacher unions against homeschooling or private schools. You know, the children lose in the meantime. I'd love to see private schools springing up in strip malls, in poor areas, private schools springing up where people could send their children to a local little, if there's, say, rundown strip malls in some of these areas or closed stores, turn those into small private schools that actually educate. And especially with minority kids, I mean, the public schools pass them when they should be failing them until they learn how to read and get the basics that they need. It's such an injustice to these kids to pass them along. So when they graduate, they hardly have any reading skills and they don't reason well and they don't, you know, their overall education is weak. This is not a racial thing. You know, it would seem that the racists are the ones who keep passing them. And what are they going to do in the future? What are these kids going to turn into when they don't have basic skills to get a job? As scarce as good jobs are anyway. And then this breeds more anger and futility and resentment in the future. And then, you know, more welfare statism. So we've got quite a mess ahead of us. And again, I don't see it getting any better. It could take years. I just see governments going down the wrong path. People are quite powerless to do much against it. A lot of us are really upset and pissed off at the whole thing. But we don't want to go to jail. We don't want to go to prison. You know, prison construction continues. This nation has more people incarcerated than any country in the world, as I understand it. Maybe not, I don't know if there's more people in prison here than there are in China, per se, but the percentage is higher. I know that. So, you know, and a lot of that is due to this useless, stupid war on drugs. And again, you have a massive military budget, which is sucking up valuable investment capital from other commercial enterprises. And every program, I will usually rail against the drug war and the military-industrial complex because I have to stay focused on these two things that are largely depriving our people from a better standard of living. Also, I'm very down on farm subsidies. I'd phase those all out within a year and detax the farmers. Let supply and demand shake hands. I get rid of these stupid ethanol programs where they're subsidizing corn, and it's more expensive to produce ethanol, I think, than gasoline, and all the water that's wasted in its production. But Archer Daniel Midlands and the, you know, politically connected businesses, well, they're happy to keep it going. But for the taxpayer, and even environmentally, you know, it's not a good thing. So there's a lot that we could change, and I've My plan allows for the unemployment of bureaucrats and politicians. Well, not so much politicians, that will happen. Bureaucrats and just government employees. In Washington, you have especially a lot of black folks working in the offices in these bureaucracies. Well, again, I give them their full salary for 2 years and their benefits. And then after that, they're free to find other work. And if we got rid of a lot of these government buildings, sell them off cheaply to, you know, investors, to reinvest in the private sector in these former government buildings, sell off a lot of government properties. Apparently, I'm chopping up again. Do you think the feds are trying to distort what I'm trying to say here? I don't know. But sometimes you got to wonder if there's more gremlins in the system. I know these shows are monitored by the feds, CIA and or FBI, national security. And these are fellow Americans doing this stuff, you know. So they... Of course, I still have my right to free speech and a free press so far, but I'm sure they don't like what I have to say. They don't want people like me on radio. They don't want people like me publishing what we publish. Of course, they try to call us, you know, conspiracy theorists or racists or anti-Semites or kooks and nuts, treasonous, all these labels they like to throw at us. But I'm going to keep going down the path of righteousness and truth as I see it. And I think those of you who agree with me see it that way too. And I seek nothing for myself. I'm selfless in that regard. I don't seek personal gain or financial gain, but I seek a better America and a better world. And it ain't happening by more government and more taxes and more regulations and Obamacare and... relentless drug war, more bailouts to the fat cats. You know, in my world, there would have been a very brief, sharp, painful recession about 3 years ago. That's what happened. And then the new atmosphere would have been one of micro taxes and micro regulations and, pretty much complete deregulation. I am concerned mainly about pollution in terms of deregulation. And pollution is primarily not only a scientific problem, but it's a local problem. All crime is local. All poverty is local. All pollution is local. Yes, it has further reaching implications, but it can be dealt with locally through local government, tort law, property rights. That's the way I see it going. Instead of government protection and, government partnerships where industry and government are in bed together. That's the corporate fascist type state that we want to get away from. We should go in totally opposite direction of that. So I'm going to wind down my show right now, but I would like to thank everybody for listening in. I'm sorry I had some technical problems. My voice may have been a little choppy, but... there you have it. So my next couple of shows will also be pre-recorded because I'm going to be doing some traveling. And so I'm trying to fill in with some interesting guests that I can do pre-recorded shows with, although in the future I would welcome phone calls. And I haven't really had any good challenges lately because most of the people I've spoken with, we're pretty much on the same page. And I of course, get that. But I'm looking to gently clash, if you will, with some other guests and see how I do because I haven't had that opportunity yet and see how my wit and my sarcasm handles them. So anyway, I'm going to close for now, and I'd like to thank you all for listening in, and please tune in again next week, same time, same place, for Third Stream View. I'm your host, PK. I'm here every Monday evening, 9:55 Pacific, 10:55 Central, 11:55 Eastern. So until next time, this is your not-so-humble host, PK, signing off and saying, take care, everyone. Hope you'll tune in next week. Good night.